Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 790 for the week of Saturday, October 25th, 2025. Chris Privitz here, bringing you AI slop video game videos. That's apparently the meme going around this week. Somebody tried to generate a video game, or at least a video of a video game, and, well, it's special. It's special. So you go Google that on Blue Sky and see if you want to go uptone or subtone. And once you decide, click a button and watch your decision be ignored. So, with that said, I'm joined by several panelists today. First of all, Scamper is on the desk. Hi, Scamper.
You cuddly standard issue.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Scamper.
Second of all, we have Kelly Ryan, who's just gotten their own new standard issue.
Yeah, the trouble with your losing your pet that's a standard issue cat is all you can find to adopt is standard issues. So we adopted a standard issue.
Standard issued being the brown or gray tabby, basically.
On Reddit, they're called standard issue cats because, yeah, they're pretty basic looking cats, but not Vivi. Vivi is adorable.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So nice. Also with me is Josh Carpenter with his own adorable, lovable feline, right?
My cat is none of those things, and you know it.
You said he was very jealous of you after being away at boarding for a little while.
He wasn't jealous. He was just like, you know, he was making sure I wasn't going to leave him somewhere else again, I think.
Oh, more like a parole officer then.
Yeah.
All right.
Dare you?
The cat with special notes at the boarding facility. Him.
Is there any place where he doesn't have special notes?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's a special notes sort of cat.
All right. So what about the new cat, Kelly? Anything interesting to know about Vivian? Vivi?
So she's named both after Vivi from Final Fantasy IX and Princess Vivi from One Piece.
Okay.
She is going to be mostly Vaughn's cat because he's been very lonely. Jack kind of ruled his office with an iron fist, so none of the other cats really go into the office except to get into the window or one of the bed baskets.
Mm-hmm.
We had been cat. How do you say it? Shopping? Hunting? We had been seeking out cats for adoption pretty much all week. And we're at the Humane Society Thursday and looked at a bunch of different cats. And the last one was Vivi. And she literally came out of the box purring and loving all over us. And basically, Vaughn just took one look at her and was petting her and loving on her and said, yes, this is the one. Because she just so affectionate. Like, she will body slam you and start rubbing on you and purring her head off.
Yes, affection.
Yeah.
Like when a goat rams you.
I mean, that's basically what it is. Just like, boop, love. Love. I am not going to usurp Vivi at my first opportunity. I have been trying to let Vivi love on you. I've been handing her
I've been
to you.
Trying to let. Those are very passive voices.
I feel called out. But this morning, she kept going to me, and I would kind of pick her up and turn her around and point her to Vaughn. And then Vaughn would start petting her, and then she would run back to me. I don't know. It's a superpower. I can't turn it off. Cats love me.
Cats love her.
My mom is the same way.
Doctors approve of her.
But she's very playful and very affectionate. We were playing with her on the bed this morning, and she was just like zooming all over the place. And you know how kittens kind of get that crazy.
Yes.
Kitten crazy. That's what she was doing. It's hard to talk about her without just turning into a puddle of goo because she's so cute.
As opposed to all the cats you have that aren't cute and fun to talk about.
Yeah, my other cats have all reverted to kittenhood.
Oh, did they now?
Because that's what older cats do when there's a kitten around. Also, lots of hissing. So much hissing. Every time one of the older ones go into the bedroom where that's kind of been her safe zone. It's just been hiss, 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 hiss. I also feel bad because she kind of slapped the dog pretty hard that first night. And Vaughn was like, please trim her nails. And I'm like, okay, I'll hold her. You administer to Chiru. When people say, like, I can't trim my cat's nails, I'll get shredded, Chiru is your answer. Chiru is the single best cat invention that has ever been invented. You can bribe a cat to do anything with Chiru.
Except the cats that don't like Chiru.
Yeah.
What weird cats don't like Chiru?
They exist. Scotty. What do you want from me?
Scotty's uninterested.
That is crazy.
He just thinks you're trying to do something. Whenever you give him a treat, he's like, you're up to something. I don't like this.
Wow, that is Lita. They must be taking notes.
Highly suspicious.
Like, what are you doing? Yeah, Lita, no matter how sneaky I try to be to give her treats or to bribe her with treats or something, she just runs and hides, and I feel so bad. And yeah, sorry, I'm distracted by Chris messing around with my cat's photo or our cat's photo. You know, I do have that one that's further up on our Discord chat that's less embarrassing.
We're making it work, Kelly. We're making it work.
That is the crappiest Photoshop job. I'm embarrassed on your behalf.
Listen, I gave her an ear trim accidentally. There we go. Perfect.
The one where she was side-eyeing the dog. And you were like, wow, she has big eyes. Mm. It looks like she has a heckin' concern. And it's like, yeah, it's because she looks like she's about to slap the dog's face off. And that's what she did an hour later. And I felt horrible. Because our dog's blind. And he just kind of kept going. And we were like, no, stop. And she got slapped. And got slapped hard enough to whine. And I was like, Rex, we told you to stop. But then we were both like, wait a minute, is he hard of hearing too? And then realized that's probably the case because he's a 12-year-old dog. Mm. And 12 is ancient for a dog. And I feel so bad. But yeah, that's our kitten. She's cute. Yeah, she looks very concerned in that picture.
She hasn't grown very into her ears sure. yet either, so it's great. So anyway, Kelly got a new cat. If you're listening at home, this is not doing anything for you other than the cat looks like a misproportioned kitten, which she kind of is. So
pretty much all of the kittens we looked at looked misproportioned. There was one that was about half her size, but its face was mostly eyeballs.
So it's that the civet or whatever, that little weird marmoset thing. I don't know.
Yeah, that's I think that's exactly.
No, not I is from Monkey Ball.
No, it's an animal. It's called an eye.
No, this one doesn't have the big eyes. This has small eyes. Is it a pygmy marmoset? It's not a pygmy marmoset.
It's spelled A-Y-E.
Yeah, no, I got a picture up. Don't move. Now, I know whatever this thing is, the eyes don't move. Tarsiers. Tarsiers. Yeah.
See, I can't see it right now because of the ads.
I'm working on it. Can I get to the Tarsier? Yeah, there we go. These guys.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what that kitten looked like. And our Humane Society layout is dumb because they had the visiting room like right by where all the barky dogs were. So every time anybody walked by, the dogs would just go off. And it was very annoying because it was scaring the kittens half to death. Excuse me. The first kitten we looked at was very afraid. The second kitten we looked at, all he wanted to do was play. The third kitten was very affectionate but did not care about play. And the fourth kitten, which was the Vivi, was pretty much a combination of all three. She was playful, she was affectionate, she was not afraid of all the noise. She was perfect. And yeah, that's how we ended up with a Vivi. She's perfect. But my other cats are not happy though.
They don't want to share.
No. After the cast today, we're probably gonna go to the pet store and pick up some new toys for her and get her a collar because she's also very quiet, not having a jingle jangle on her right now.
All right, yeah, you've got bells on all your cats, don't you?
Yeah, because it started with Jack because Jack was very sneaky and would end up in spots where he wasn't supposed to be, and then hours later we would hear a muffled meow from somewhere and was like, how did you sneak in there?
Yeah, that's why I have to clear out the basement at the end of every day when I'm done working down there, because otherwise in about an hour I'll start hearing meows from the floor. Mm-hmm. Because he's above the basement ceiling and can't get out or doesn't know what to do.
So, funnily enough, Jack would bite his bell so it wouldn't make as much noise.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, Jack was a character. I'm curious to see what kind of character Vivi is going to end up being. But right now, her character is play. Like, I must play with everything.
That's
so much play. Speaking of play, I've been playing more Pokemon ZA.
How is that?
It has been a blast. It was funny reading a Reddit thread last night saying that it's like, oh my god, the game looks like garbage and I can't believe people spent $70 on this. And I'm like, it's fine.
But only fine, huh?
Like, I don't understand why people expect Pokemon games to be the cutting edge of graphics.
Well, they crank one out every year. They can't be.
Well, yeah, there's that. And there's just, these are still kind of kids' games.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. Kids do not give a crap about graphics. They just want the Pokemans.
Yeah. Well, I think we're just supposed to hate Pokemon games now.
And I don't get it.
Well, because they don't have the national Dex, and they aren't made for adults.
Yeah.
So both reasons are kind of unreasonable when you like really break down the business going on. But like that doesn't matter because people want it and they feel like it would be financially successful if Nintendo made it, so they don't understand why they're not making it, and they feel like it's a personal affront to them and not respecting the fact that, you know, their money is what got Nintendo where they are. I don't know, stuff like that, right? You go down that whole thought process, and sure, it would be nice to have a more mature Pokemon experience. We don't have it from Nintendo. Sorry.
And, I mean, I understand the need to want to innovate. And one of the reasons why I like Pokemon ZA is because it's switching to an action combat system completely changes the game, as it were. And it's really fun to play and have to think about your positioning and all of that stuff. I can understand why the Pokemon company is like, you know what? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. and the things that we are fixing are stuff that have needed to be fixing, like, having my personal trash collector to bring me back the balls that I've whiffed on, and letting me swap out moves on the fly. You know, that kind of stuff I think is great.
So, Cyril points out in the chat, my only real complaint with the last few releases has been how badly they run given how dated the graphics are. At least crank out a game that runs decently, yeah?
Yeah, I mean...
But doesn't it run decently on the Switch 2?
Yeah.
So, like, the problem is, like, should they really have made it on the Switch 1?
That, I don't know.
Well, it sounded like the sales were actually pretty evenly split between Switch and Switch 2.
So then that's why they put it on both, even though it doesn't run well on one. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I didn't know that you can play the Switch 2 cart on a Switch 1.
Is that the one that's both are on the same cart?
Yeah.
Goodness. Well, that's another thing that Nintendo's doing here is, like, freaking, like, make it easier to know what one's where. Like, this whole thing has been strange. Just like games that come out during this era should just run on both systems. We just assume they run on both systems, and whether it's digital or physical, it'll run on both systems, and you won't have to pay extra to make it run on both systems. But that's not what we have. We have this one has an upgrade version. This one you need to buy a separate cart or code from the beginning because there is no upgrade version. This one just runs on both and it plays the right one just like you think it should, and no issues whatsoever. Like, why does it have to be different for every single game? Like, the whole point of consoles is to not have to worry about this stuff, and you are. And it's ugh.
Because I went ahead and picked up a physical copy of ZA because, one, I wanted it in my collection, and two, I kind of needed another cart so that I could trade with myself because I'm that pathetic.
Wait, why do you need to trade with yourself?
Trying to complete the Pokédex. Some evolutions only trigger when traded. That silence is very judging.
No, I was replying to something in chat, so.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're just trading to get evolutions? Is that what you said? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised you have to, because this is a different style of game than that, but I guess not.
Yeah, they're still trading. I think there wasn't trading in Arceus because it takes place in the past, so there's no electronics to trade with.
And yet they still have functional Pokeballs somehow.
Yeah. So it's funny, you go to a museum that has all the stuff from Arceus, and it's kind of interesting reading the flavor text, though I can't remember a lot of it specifically, but they have like all the different Pokeballs that you got in that game, and I can't remember if it had the Arceus phone, but yeah, there's a museum that has all the stuff from Arceus in it. It's kind of a neat Easter egg. You have to do a side quest there where you have to catch a bunch of bug Pokemon in the museum. But where was I going with this?
You're talking about Arceus, and we were complaining about how people are complaining, and I guess we were trying to dig into whether or not, I don't know, where do we go from here? Do we just keep complaining about Nintendo, or do we just stop buying their games at some point? But you're enjoying the game, aren't you? So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, you give me the basic Pokemon formula, and you make it fun, and I will happily play the ever-loving crap out of it. And that's all I need out of a Pokemon game, and I don't get the complaint.
It's one of those, what are people wanting? There's always that complaint of wanting one for adults. Are they wanting a more adult story, or are they wanting
I want to marry my Pokemon.
Oh, God.
That one's dating not sim happening. Pokemon. Dating sim, yeah. I think they want more complicated mechanics, yeah.
But they're never going to do a Pokemon game with more complicated mechanics.
I know.
Because their target audience is kids.
Yeah.
But I guess they've, you know, there's always that hope that with the Arceus series, the Legend series, that's where they can do something different that's more teen or adult oriented. But that's not what they're doing.
Never going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, Nintendo doesn't even own the whole thing. You know, they're.
Well, yeah, it is Game Freak who's making these decisions, right? So.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine the conniption fit if a parent bought a game with Pokemon branding on it and it had the gameplay of Pow World with all the guns?
Alex, are you suggesting in the chat that Nintendo purposely doesn't do what people want because the complaints is free advertising? Because that's like that's a 3D chess strategy. All right, I don't know. Well, let's see when he replies. Yeah, the... No, but I'll claim credit for that, too. Okay. All right, now. He said, all right, well, here's what Alex actually said. Maybe you guys can unpack it for me. Partly also complaining generally gets more attention. So I don't, or maybe it's people are complaining because they want Nintendo to do something, and complaining gets more attention than asking, I guess.
Fair.
Yeah, I'm just saying that when it comes to the Pokemon franchise, it's never going to happen.
And if you're wanting that more, that deeper gameplay, like you've pointed out, Kelly, there are lots of other indies that are doing that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, but they don't have Charizard or Pikachu in them.
Pow World, Temtem, Goromon, we literally just did a backtrack about this. And also, you know what an adult-oriented Pokemon is? It's Shin Megami Tensei.
Is it? Well, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's the same gameplay. It's just deepens.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but those games also haven't been that good lately, right? People didn't really like 5 that much, did they?
I didn't play the new version of 5, so I don't know how much it fixed it. And I thought Soul Hackers was very boring. And there's not a new Persona game. There's just been rehashes of 5.
Well, that's how we do Persona now. We rehash it for 10 years and then put out a new game.
That's how that works.
So, I mean, the Persona, the SMT series isn't that much better, but that's your adult Pokemon.
Yeah.
So... there you go. And there's also indie games that kind of have that gameplay mechanic where you talk to monsters. From Alex in chat, that's more specific for the higher influx of YouTubers making the complaints rather than whether people are making complaints, which is what I don't...
regular people.
...have visibility on. And yeah, Alex, you know, reading complaints on Reddit is a very unique sample size. I just thought it was funny the number of people that were complaining about how basic Pokemon ZA is, particularly complaining about the graphical style. And I mean, the graphics are fine. I don't know what the big deal is, but whatever. I'm having fun with the game. That is all.
How dare you?
Yeah.
If you don't think the game is worth $70, then you're not obligated to spend that much on a new Pokemon game. There's plenty of other games out there for you.
But then what about me? They need to take care of my needs.
Maybe these people need to boot up Power Wash Simulator 2 and chill out a little bit.
Oh, is that what you've been doing?
Soothing power washing. Yeah, I bought that this week, and it is...
last week you tell me to get ball pit. Now this week it's power wash. I can't keep up with you, Kelly.
I know. I'm sorry. I had to pick up power wash too right away just because I couldn't get enough of the first game, and trying to play the knockoffs has not been the same experience because they're just bad. There was one on the Switch that I picked up for $5. I don't even know the name of it, but I clipped through I was like in the middle of a job and clipped through the floor.
Perfect.
And it auto saves, so it completely borked my game, and it was like, okay, well, I guess I'm deleting this off of my system and never touching it again. And no, Power Wash Simulator 2, it's more Power Wash Simulator. They just added a bunch of stuff to make it more fun, like different types of power washers now. Like, you get this one, what's it called? I'm looking it up right now. The Swirl Force Surf Ace, that is a circular power washer that's for flat surfaces, and it looks kind of like a UFO. And yeah, it's exactly what it does. It is perfect for like doing the floors and stuff. So you have to think about the different tools you use now. They also made it so that it's a lot easier to find the spots that you missed. Like before, you'd have to kind of look them up in the list and be like, okay, what's a Y-strut? I do not know airplane terms. Where is the Y-strut on an airplane? And even though it would highlight, being able to see what the highlight was kind of hard. So this time around, they do like a little reticle that moves around on the screen that you can kind of home in on what you missed. And this functionality is automatic. So as you're kind of finishing up a job, the reticles will start showing up to show you, like, okay, you missed this bolt here on this van. Home in on the little reticle, and there you go, you can clean the bolt. And that has made jobs 100 times easier. And you also get a, I can't remember what it's called. It's a lift, a scissor lift, that's what it's called. You get a scissor lift, which makes some of the jobs a lot easier. Because you can actually adjust the height on the fly of the scissor lift, so you're not having to like run up and down the scaffolding or constantly move the ladder. And yeah, it's more power washing. You get a base that you can decorate, and all of the furniture that you buy from the base also needs power washing, so you get the satisfaction of like power washing rugs and sofas. So, if you watch those videos on TikTok or YouTube, you can now get the satisfaction of power washing a rug.
Those rugs are so dirty in those videos.
Yeah.
They're really gross. But like, I have a question. If all your furniture has been power washed, aren't you going to have a mold problem?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I would think that people, or that when you power wash furniture, that you like put it in a well-ventilated area and put fans on it so that it'll dry out quick so that mold won't form. You don't have to worry about that in the video
Yeah, I suppose not.
There's no mold growing simulation in this.
No.
One of the
Oh,
weird
okay.
things in Power Wash Simulator to me is that there's no runoff. Like the dirt just disappears, but in reality, the dirt needs to go somewhere.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah, I
So
know.
you're
That's not
mad,
bugging
Chris,
you
that
at all because you don't want to deal with
there's not
that.
accurate dirty water running
Yeah.
everywhere?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, where's the dirty water? Like, if I mean, if we're gonna go hard on the power wash simulation, let's simulate all aspects, or like add Iron Man mode where you got to deal with the residue. I don't know.
Power wash hardcore.
Hardcore power wash. Miss one spot and you're dead.
I do know I was working on power washing like a whole house, and I noticed that my character's footprints were showing up going from clean areas to wet areas or to nasty areas. So you've got to worry about that. I'm pretty sure this game came out first. Had you ever heard of Viscera Cleanup Detail?
Yes, I have.
That one, you've got to worry about like all the dirty water and stuff, and you've got to dispose of the mop water. And if you accidentally drop the bucket of dirty mop water, it'll get everywhere.
There's another game like this where you're the minions of an evil villain, and you have to go through and clean up and reset the dungeon after the heroes have gone through it.
Yeah, I don't know what that one is called.
That one's
There's
co-op,
also
yeah.
one that you have to clean up after SCPs.
Oh, nice.
I think that one's in early access right now.
So there's a research step then before you go and interact with these, I assume.
Yeah, I haven't looked in too much into that one. I don't know if you have to like do the SCP mechanics, like have somebody look at the thing at all times so that it doesn't attack you.
Yeah.
Either way, that's scary.
Yeah. Not a really cozy, relaxing experience there, but
No,
fun for a co-op Twitch stream.
it's more of a horror experience, but I need to look into that one because it does sound kind of fun, albeit creepy. I asked Vaughn if he wanted to play this with me, and he was like, nope, does not sound fun at all. And I won't let him play Viscera cleanup detail with me because he'll just mess things up and make me mad.
Chaos says there's also an upcoming Kaiju corpse cleanup game.
Yeah, I saw that one where you have to cut up the Kaiju corpse into cubes
Jeez.
and sell off the cubes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that one looks fun.
Who wants a Mothra burger?
I mean, that was basically the premise of some of the stuff in Pacific Rim. And yeah, Vaughn, yes, I would get organs and throw them on your hard cleaned area. And yeah, I would be very bad. Like divorce impending. Well, what's your reason? He was pissing me off in a video game.
Carry on.
He kept throwing organs at me.
Oh. Andy won't let me play co-op games with him either.
For the same reason that you just
I will
trolled.
troll them at some point if the game lets me. And that because of that, it's I'm not allowed to play any. And like it's the worst kind of feedback because like I'm never allowed to try and get better and not do that to him. It's just like, no, I've lost the privilege of ever playing co-op games with Andy now, which is like, that's not fair.
Were you throwing Andy's toads into the pits
If
in
that's an option,
Mario?
yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
We played some Kirby thing. I threw him in the fire once and like never heard the end of it. I think I do need to talk him into Split Fiction, though. That seems like it'd be good for us. So, I've been playing things, Kelly.
Yeah, you bought Ball Pit.
I didn't. It was on Game Pass, and I still have Game
Oh,
Pass.
okay.
So even though the price went up, like I was already subscribed for multiple years, so all I did was turn off my auto renew. So until it runs out in a couple of years, I've still got Game Pass and Ball Pit's on it. So I'm like, I tried playing it, and I've been playing a little bit on the stream here. And yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's got a
Isn't
lot of
that
that.
fun?
Yeah, a lot of that Blood Hell Vampire Survivors style gameplay loop going on. And I hear it starts to like open up with lots of additional play methods or ways to tweak your gameplay as you go on. So it seems like it's pretty deep. But it takes a while to get there. So you got to kind of grind it out. So that's a good mix. And like, it seems like you progress quickly enough to keep you interested, but not too slow that you like quick enough to keep you interested without the game being like trivial and over too quickly, I think is what I want to say. But I don't know fully yet because I haven't gotten to the end. Have
Yeah,
you
'cause
finished it?
no, I'm still picking at it. Like I said, I keep getting distracted with other shiny objects, and I need to. I'm kind of focusing on Pokemon right now.
Okay.
But I've played a little bit of Ball Pit since then, and the most recent character I unlocked reverses the shooting, so all of the balls come from above instead of below, which makes it kind of challenging because as stuff gets to the bottom of the screen, you can't deal with it as quickly. So you've got to kind of rethink how you want to approach the level. And I haven't beaten a level with that character yet, but I'm trying to I want to unlock all of the blueprints from the levels before I move on to the most recent ones. And I still have one blueprint left in the sand level that I can't figure out how to get it to drop. I think you just have to beat the level with different characters until it drops, because the game encourages you to beat each level with as many characters as possible because it unlocks the bonus for those totems that you get for your town for beating said level.
Yeah, so if you don't remember what Ball Pit is, it is a vertically scrolling arkanoid-em-up with Vampire Survivor style gameplay.
It's breakout.
It's Breakout, but you keep gaining levels, which make you stronger. But also, you're unlocking weapons like different balls that you shoot. So you can unlock different weapons. You can combine them in evolutions like Vampire Survivors. And you're also upgrading accessories that have different effects on how you play, like shooting out more baby balls, which are the non like main weapons, but they're your side weapons that just always come out of your character and vary in how they interact with each character. And then you have other aspects like unlocking characters. Like I unlocked a new one this morning that has two people at once.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, this seems cool, except they seem to die all the time on me, so I'm not good at them. So
yeah, I think one of the characters shoots at a less powerful impact.
Both of them, they're halved.
Oh, they're halved?
Yeah,
so that they have the same power,
yeah, but
split. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. That explains a lot.
And there's two hit zones instead of one, so obviously that's part of why it's more dangerous.
Now, fun fact, the in-between is not a hit zone.
I know, I saw that. I have the little dot on in the options that shows the hit zone. So, yeah, oh, I noticed, like, if I line it up just right, a lot of attacks that are meant to, like, kill your people don't work on them because you're offset from the normal hit zone.
I need to turn that dot on. I didn't realize that was a dot.
Yeah.
Or an option. But, yeah, later on you unlock a character that is called the Empty Nester that does not generate baby balls. It just generates multiple instances of the regular ones.
Ooh, that could be fun.
So that's fun, but it's also challenging because, you know, those baby balls kind of get crazy. But I imagine to get to win with that character, you have to unlock a lot of the non-ball damage dealing abilities like the lasers and the earthquakes.
Hmm.
The lasers are so much fun, by the way.
I mean, that's where I'm at, is like trying to figure out all the best ways to evolve things, because you can fuse balls before you evolve them, you can fuse balls after you evolve them, and like I don't know like what all the right combos are and what's the best way to go. It's so like, man.
I try to do the vampire ball since that does healing.
Mm.
You also get interesting little, I don't know what you would call them, like units that get on the field and basically block for you.
Yeah. Like the golden cow and the statue and that heals you, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. One of them shoots arrows. I think one of them generates extra gold. So a lot of that, it's just, they put so much interesting stuff in that game. It's going to be fun just going through and figuring out what all is in there, especially as you get to some of the harder levels. And I only just recently beat the desert level and unlocked the one after it, which I don't even know what it is. I haven't opened it yet. But yeah, that game is pure dopamine.
And like the monsters chant along with the music, and that's fun too. Yeah, so that's been one thing I've been doing, has been Ball Pit, which has turned out to be pretty good pretty good game. And then also I've been doing more Mega Bonk, continuing on with that, because I just keep getting better at that game and get further with choices and unlocks and stuff. I've got all the characters unlocked except for one now, because I have still yet to beat the final boss in that game. To do a full complete 100% or a full run, because I'm not good at it. And so once I do that, I think that'll unlock that last character, or at least maybe have to do a run with a certain character, unlock him. And then I still have some more challenges to do to unlock all the legendary items, and those legendary items are freaking broken in Mega Bonk.
But they're also a bitch to unlock.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to earn it.
Isn't one of the items like you have to beat the game with just your base weapon alone?
I think so, no. Yeah. And that one I'm probably not getting anytime soon.
Yeah. I did forget to mention one thing about Power Wash Simulator.
What's that?
Mm-hmm.
So, spoilers for the first game. There was a side... There's like a story going on in the first Power Wash Simulator, and one of the things was looking for the mayor's cat, Ulysses. And it turns out at the end of the game, Ulysses is actually a girl and had kittens.
Aww.
Well, Ulysses and her kittens are in your base for the sequel. And
can you power wash them?
Yeah.
That's
and
weird.
They come with you on jobs and you can pet them. And I realize that that's not an important feature for everyone.
No, it's not, but apparently it is for you.
Yes. When I noticed that there was Ulysses, I was like, oh my god, it's the cat from the first game and her kitten. And wait, what's that word? It's like, oh my God, she follows me to jobs, and you can pet her, and you cannot spray her. Which, if you do that, you're a horrible person. But sorry, I had to add that in because cats.
So yes, you can pet the cat, and that's the important thing in this one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, very, very important.
Oh, and then what else have I been playing is what we're waiting for, right?
Yeah, sorry.
I got distracted by both.
Vaughn sent me a new Minecraft set that's basically a Lego set that's basically a fox. And I'm like, I'm going to have to get that.
Oh, okay. Like,
sorry.
You're going to pre-order that?
No, it just says coming soon. I don't think that's going to get here until January. But last year they made, Lego did a Minecraft creeper to celebrate the 15th anniversary, and it included a pig figurine that is what the creeper was supposed to be. And it's very off-putting. Here, I'll put this in our chat. Anyway, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Final Fantasy Tactics. Finally started my run of Final Fantasy Tactics. I'm still in Chapter 1 because I can't stop leveling. I have a problem. I can't just play the game straight. And so I'm like, well, if I'm going to power level, because that's just how I know how to play this game because I'm weird, I'm going to turn it up to tactician difficulty. So the highest difficulty I'm playing on. And oh my gosh! Even when you're way over leveled and you do a story fight, sometimes they can still wreck you on tactician difficulty. Especially if you're going in there in weak jobs that the game fights are not balanced for you to have at that point in the game. Like, you're not supposed to walk in with a Geomancer against Vigroth and have him use a Night Sword ability that just one shots your character, even though you're three times his level. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do about it, and I think the answer is continue leveling even more. Well,
doesn't that game take your highest level character?
It scales the random fights, yeah. Yes, and that is an issue that I'm running into because Ramza. So my level up technique is, and I saw this on the guy whose videos I usually watch for level techniques for Disgaea. And was his idea here for tactics was take a person, turn them into a frog, cut their speed and like attack down, and then get them locked in a corner, and then turn the person who's blocking him into stone, and then set everyone else into auto protect allies, and make sure they've learned the the focus ability from Squire, and they'll just keep using focus on themselves, and you can AFK level your characters that way. Which is cool. The problem is that the computer also uses Tailwind on Ramza, so now my Ramza is 10 levels higher than everyone else because he kept shouting to get more speed. So I need to either revert a save, which I have some backup saves here because I knew this could happen, or figure out what job I can actually fight Ramza leveled enemies with everyone else to get them to level up. And so the puzzle now for tactics is how to level the characters. And then when I finally get around to the story, I'm probably just going to like destroy it, I assume, but I don't know.
It's so interesting because you're playing this in the complete opposite way that I am. I am not leveling. I am not.
How does a normal person play this game? I probably need to hear this. Tell me, teach me.
How you turn it down to the easy mode.
Okay.
That's how you do it. And you plow straight.
Why not
ahead.
Normal?
Because even normal, it seems like it kind of expects some grinding.
Yeah.
So I'm plowing through on easy. I just finished the second chapter last night, and that's kind of like the first time I ran into like any sort of real problems against the boss, the cardinal at the end of the second chapter. He was pretty tough. And then, I started looking online for like, well, how are people doing it? And it's like, oh, well, you use your ninja and you just run up there and kill him. It's like,
ninja?
I haven't unlocked the ninja. Yeah. And it's like, oh, you should equip all your characters.
Do you know how ninja is unlocked? You have to, level Squire, Knight, Thief, And I think another class just to get ninja unlocked for a character. Like, what are you talking? Like, just use your ninja in chapter one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, don't you have like three ninjas in your party? Like, no, I don't.
I don't understand that. But I'm realizing, I'm hoping, and I want some confirmation. They've retuned this game in the enhanced version, right?
Yes.
So the difficulties feel different, but there's different abilities on your characters, I guess. So like things are not tuned the same as it was. But I do remember from way back when I played it originally, there was plenty of times I had to restart fights and level. And so it's not like it was easy before and it's hard now. I'm realizing that Tactics is not the beautiful, perfect game I always thought it was. And I know I knew this back then that it wasn't perfect, but like it's so good and it's so addictive to level things up in that game that I gave it a pass for so many issues with the balance of the story fights if you didn't grind. And now I'm realizing that coming back to it, now that I have other choices of addictive games to play, like it, how fun the process of grinding and stuff is matters. And
yeah,
I think it's still good, but it's not quite as good as grinding in like a ball pit game. And now maybe I can get it to that point. Or I don't care because, you know, I don't mind exploiting games. So once I can get someone leveled up on Mystic enough to do the stone strategy, I can just put it on AFK mode. I actually have had to I can't do the full strategy I gave you because I don't have somebody who can turn some people to stone yet. So I've had to be more manually involved with it, but I still screwed up my character levels than the way I described earlier. But like if I can get it to that full automation, then I can start really doing interesting things like leveling people to 99 and then leveling them back down to back get down, more stat increases. There's like so much weird strategy if you're trying to min-max characters, which also you don't need to do in this game, at least maybe not on normal or easy.
So they've added some Disgaea elements to
like the way you level down is finding a stage that has a level down trap on it. It is not meant for you to do this. It's very tedious. Because like you have to level down one level at a time by triggering this trap over and over. Like this is not what you're supposed to do. It's not worth your time, and yet I'm still interested in it because this is how I enjoy breaking games like Tactics.
and this is very much a game where you can do that. Like it is freely open to, you know, go down any path you want, you know, to create your party how you like, to spend hours and hours and hours just leveling them. Now that you've mentioned these like strategies for like auto leveling, I'm going to have to like look into this. I'm kind of curious.
They're not perfect. Like,
no.
And what I've noticed is people in the comments were like coming up with better strategies too, or like refinements. Like you could do all this effort, but this is almost just as good and takes a lot less effort, which is all cool. And I feel like I got the baseline of his strategies after I played a little bit, and now I'm like I have a choice to make, Josh. So here's where I'm at, and I have to make a choice, and I haven't decided yet. So what that means is I'm going to tell you my choice, and I'm going to try it for an hour, and then I'm going to give up and do the other way. But the choice is this: rewatch the videos, check out those comments, figure out the newest, most optimal strategies, and then employ them and break this game, or try and enjoy the gameplay discovery on yourself and figure out those strategies or different strategies on your own that work and abuse the systems on your own, because they're there and they're waiting for you to get to there. And maybe it won't be perfectly optimal, but then you have the fun discovery of it yourself. So that's what I keep telling myself I want to do. We'll see if I can actually stick with it or if I'm just going to go pilfer even more strategies.
That was the crazy thing about that was the first time I've really looked at a guide was against the fight against the Cardinal. And even that one wasn't that hard. I mean, I kind of none of the strategies I read worked for me because I didn't have the right constituent parts. And I still managed to kind of brute force my way through that battle after like just a couple of tries. But like reading all the different strategies, I'm like, oh, it just didn't even like click with me that like, oh, I could be leveling and designing my party in these ways to kind of like do all the different things. There's so many different ways to attack the game. And thankfully now that I've gotten into chapter 2, I think I've mostly gotten or gotten into chapter three, I'm gotten away from the only other thing that was really bugging me about the game was the guest party members, because that was irritating the heck out of me, especially in the first chapter, because so often the AI is so dumb.
Oh, I just let them die. I kind of I started taking the equipment off Delita and Argath and just like let them die in the first round and then focus on my characters.
The game doesn't game over if
no, they are they have infinite they can be revived whenever they never go away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ramza,
that's the only
however,
plus.
your characters, three hearts. I kind of miss the little stars versus the numbers. I don't know if I like little heart symbols for their death, but I think that's just a nostalgia thing. What do you think overall, Josh?
I'm really enjoying it. What do you think about the voice acting? Like, I think that adds a whole lot to the game. Or maybe you haven't got far enough in the story to kind of
I agree with you, and there's plenty of voice acting in the first chapter. That's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with you. However, I did something that maybe has ruined me with the for the English voice acting.
Yeah.
I set it to Japanese voices.
Uh-oh. Are they even better?
It is different.
Oh,
So
different. Yeah.
when you are in English, you are watching a Shakespearean tragedy. When you are on Japanese, you are watching a shonen anime. It's a way different vibe. It's totally acted out like anime characters. And like that, I have to kind of see what tactics I like, but they don't give us a translation of what they say in Japanese. They give us the English script, which is all buttered up to be all like Shakespeare, right? And like,
Yeah.
so I wish there was a way, and maybe fans will patch this in eventually. I want the Japanese translation because I want like, I want
It
to play it
doesn't
both
match the
ways.
voice acting. Yeah.
No, it doesn't. No, not at all. So like, but like, if you've watched enough anime, you know certain words that they go and use in the anime situations. And it's like, yeah, this totally sounds like a scene right out of like Naruto or whatever. And like, I recognize those words and that nani and that sort of stuff. And it's like, this is anime. They did not play this like freaking old English plays. So I don't know. I want to experience the game both ways. Like, why are it's like that's those are two different ways, and they should be put in front of us as like both valid ways to do it. They should have did a dual translation. I really think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, this should have had the Yakuza style translation where you get the totally different translation for the
But
Japanese voice acting versus the English. Yeah.
What I've started to realize though is this game didn't have that big of a budget,
no.
right? So
no.
I guess the English voice acting the voice acting seems to be where a lot of the money went, but like yeah. you could tell that there was some limits. Like the assets of this game are just some sort of weird scale up of the originals. It's not like they redid
Seems
all the
like it,
artwork
yeah.
from scratch, or someone's going to find me a video where they say we did redid all the artwork from scratch. So I don't know. Cause I guess they had to, cause they didn't have the source code, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on then with that.
it still looks like a PS1 game.
It does. It's just
yeah.
dithered, but in
yeah.
a tasteful way. Like it's been got one of those scale up filters with dithering and stuff, but in a way that looks good rather than a way that looks awful, which is, you know, what's going to
happen
it looks
for
like most
how
people.
You, it's one of, the best compliment you can give it is it looks like how you remember.
Yeah.
A PS1
and then you can
game
go
looking.
Over to the unenhanced version and be like, oh.
Oh, no.
Now, the other thing I wish is you could just flip between those two, but you can't.
No.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I mean, like, overall, I think it's a very good package. Like I said, if you want the older experience, I mean, they give you the option of using the War of the Lions translation.
Yeah, but that wasn't the original translation. So that's
No.
the other thing I'm waiting for. Remember we talked, well, you weren't here, but we talked a couple of weeks ago. The way they describe the enhanced versions translation is dialogue adjustments and additions.
Yeah.
That's not clear about what's different about the new one. And then whereas the other one is like the War of the Lions, the well-loved translation from War of the Lions or whatever. And it's like, okay, somebody, for the love of everything, please do a video where you deep dive into the translation choices and differences between the original War of the Lions and the enhanced edition. Like, what did they do? And why do you need to make this video? Only because I'm curious. It's not like it's bugging me or causing an impact to me while I play the game. It's not like I have to know this. It's not like it's a problem. This translation in the enhanced version is great. The War of the Lions one, from what I remember playing of it, seemed great. But I now I just need to know. What was this? What did they do? How did they make their... do they pull lines from War of the Lions and from the old and combine them? Is it only from the old with additions like they say? Is it really not from the old one at all and it's just totally reached? What's going on here?
The War of the Lions version was very Shakespearean.
Well, so is this one.
Yeah.
I thought that the original PlayStation one was very, like, bare bones basic translation, yes, to the point of being awful.
It was like bare bones basic awful and still trying to be old English. Because, you know, why not? So the other thing I haven't gotten to is I haven't been able to go on jobs. I haven't been able to send characters away for jobs. So I don't know if Got a Good Feeling shows up as some sort of Easter egg.
Huh.
Do you, Josh? Have you seen that at all? You haven't. Okay.
No.
Okay.
I've sent some characters out on jobs, but
they come back and you have a normal conversation instead of like the complete gibberish you would get after someone does a job in the original version.
Oh, okay. Yes.
You remember what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah, they come back and they'd say, I got a good feeling. And like, what? About what? Like, what are you talking about? And then, like, the job is completed. You get a reward. Like, what is going on? which it shows up as an Easter egg in Final Fantasy 12.
Oh, Lord.
By the way, yeah, in the background, while Balthier and, like, what's her face are talking with, like, while the adults are talking, the kids are in the background literally saying lines from the originally Final Fantasy Tactics script about I got a good feeling. It is that exact interaction, and it's just happening in the background. So, like, I love that scene.
Because I was obsessed with the jobs and the War of the Lions version because of all the items that you get that are Final Fantasy Easter eggs. Like the you get the rat tail from Final Fantasy One, the item that lets you promote all of your jobs, and like other various. The rat tail is the one that I remember the most. I don't remember what else there were, but yeah, all the special items you get from those jobs are Easter eggs. I don't know if you guys were aware of that.
Mm-mm.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm I don't know what to do. I do know what to do. I don't know what else to say. Something else I wanted to say about Tactics. I want that video. Go ahead.
No, I just noticed this morning that suddenly I have like four or five chocobos in my party. Do they just procreate if you have multiple chocobos?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
To the point, the game has an option where it will clear out extra eggs and stuff automatically. So that your party slots don't fill up without you realizing it.
I figured that must be the case because I was like, I thought I only had two chocobo and now I've got like five. Where did they all come from?
They come from the nature.
when a mommy and a daddy chocobo love each other very much.
Oh man, I just found on GameFAQs the original Tactics script, and it's, yeah, bare bones is a good way to describe it. Wow. Oh, I feel sorry for whoever had to make this. Is that probably not the guy who did like the other Final Fantasy games, right? But no, not Ted Woosley.
Don't remember.
Oh man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, and other things I noticed with that, playing with the Japanese, instead of Titra for Delita's sister's name, it is Tita in Japanese, which is kind of what it was in the original game, where it was spelled T-E-T-A in the English version, which I think most people pronounced Tata because...
Yeah, we didn't have any context.
Yeah, it's a weird name, right? And then the other thing, in the U.S., in the English version, it says Wegroff for his name, the guy W-I-E-G-R-A-F. In Japanese, yeah, they're still saying Vigraf, which I prefer because that's like the German style.
Yeah.
And
W is V.
Andy is like, well, they had to do the anglicized version because his voice actor is very English sounding, doesn't sound German at all. And I'm like, that's reasonable, but I hate it. Like, his name is cooler if it's Vigraf. Because most people, when you're young and you encounter that, like, why is that's a W? Why are they saying V? And then you do research on where W, the letter W, came from. And you're like, oh, okay. It's just two V's in a row.
I mean, you know, like if you're actually referencing someone being Anglo-Saxon, then they are kind of German.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
That's a whole different rabbit hole.
And, but that's, for me, the most fascinating part of this game is the script, because that's the whole thing that was a problem with the original. So whenever a remake of this comes out, that's what I want to talk about. So that's where I'm at. Grinding and seeing what I can notice about the script and voice acting.
But I think in Totem, we think that the localization that they've done here is quite good.
Yeah. Yes, I do. Yeah.
Like every single time I'm getting a story scene, I'm just like, okay, yeah, I am there for it. It is fun and interesting and engaging.
Honestly, I think the only thing I really hated about the PSP version was how slow it was.
And thankfully, that's fixed.
Yeah.
Because I remember that drove me nuts. Just how slow that game was on PSP.
I don't even think playing it on the memory card helped it much either.
Uh-uh. No. I mean, even just manipulating the map was interminably slow. I remember that. You combine that with the annoying guest characters, and I just noped out on that.
Oh, the poor PSP. You were so good and so bad.
Oh, poor PSP. We miss you, fella.
I loved that system. I just... There were so many times I would go download a game I had on UMD just because of the load times on it.
Yeah.
You played anything?
I'm glad you guys are enjoying it.
Yeah, no, and you should play it, Kelly.
I'll put it on my list.
Add it to your long list.
Yeah.
Other than that, I played a little bit of Hades 2, but I'm just starting to get back into it since I've dropped it. You know, I played through and I beat Kronos once, and that was kind of the end of the early access content, at least early on when they released it. And so now I'm just kind of picking it back up. I've been able to, like, I've done two or three runs. I get to Kronos. I haven't managed to kill him again yet. But I figure it's pretty good that that each time I've managed to get back to Kronos. And then I need to get back into doing some of the surface stuff, because there was very little of that in early access, at least early on when I was playing it. So I need to like do some runs on the surface as well, because there's way more depth in Hades 2 than there was in the original game. So
I was going to say, you're going into hell in Hades 2?
Yes, you are still fighting. You're this time Kronos, the Titan of Time, has conquered the underworld, and so you're trying to, you know, save the underworld, but you're also this time have the option of going in. Kronos is sending armies against Olympus, and you can also go up on the surface and try to help out Olympus. So you have two different paths of, you know, of maps that are generated. Double the fun, Kelly. Double the fun.
That sounds like it. Another game for my list of Switch 2 games I need to procure.
Yep. It's out on Switch 2. Console exclusive for the meantime.
Because I couldn't get enough of Hades 1.
Yeah. Well, this is more of it. It is exceptionally good, as you would expect.
And you're playing as Persephone?
Yes.
Okay.
Isn't that her name? Oh, crap. Now you've asked me.
No. Persephone was his mom.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's, oh, crap.
I think you're Hades is, or not Hades. Aren't you?
Oh, what is
I don't
her
know.
Name?
Go play the game. Learn the story.
Menelony. Yeah.
Menelony.
Menelomy? That's a name. All right.
Yeah, it's a name. It's Hades' other daughter.
Okay.
So are we to feedback?
Yes.
Yes, though I don't think we had direct answers. What are the most questionable choices by dev/publishers that you think worked out the best? Somebody didn't do the name for this, the Discord answer. It was Lizard Yamato, but I don't know what the new name is. Anyway, hey all, sorry I've been away and not been able to submit feedback the past couple of episodes. Life has been crazy, and on my end, I've entered into a season of life filled with uncertainty. I'll be okay, though not to worry. I refuse to not believe in myself. This week, I wanted to ask about how you folks have been feeling about the Switch 2, as I know the recent ZA Switch release. Kelly, Andy, and Chris have gotten the console. Mm-hmm. I've had it since release, and have for me, it was a pretty substantial upgrade from my original Switch, which I've had since the night of its release. That poor handheld was begging for death when I played Tears of the Kingdom on it, and by that time I knew Nintendo would release a new platform sometime in the future, so I held off on an OLED.
Mm-hmm.
So far, it is a much better Switch. That's all it's been for me. I've gotten the new flagship games like DK and Mario Kart, but what I have been able to do is fit my entire Switch library on it, and that's been awesome, having all these games at my fingertips. But right now, the Switch 2 feels like to be in the same place that the PS5 was at its launch, and that we're not going to see what it's truly capable of until much later into the platform's life cycle. I am very excited to see what the next Zelda is going to be and the next Xeno game. I am also very excited for Metroid. That game is going to be my Switch 2 flagship. Despite the previous mentioned shortcoming, I am very much enjoying the Switch 2 Electric Boogaloo. And while for most people, I'd say you can hold off, for certain folks like myself, it's been a good choice. How are you getting along? P.S. My previous name on Discord was Lizard Yamato, as in the lizard meme.
Lizard.
I also lizard. Have successfully detoxed from POE2 and uninstalled it from my hard drive. The clouds have parted. PS, Hades 2 is very good. PS, I broke Cyberpunk again.
Okay, well, I can tell you, first of all, their name, the new name on Discord is Livy. Okay. Second of all, the Switch 2 in our house, me and Andy's Switch 2, is only being used to play Final Fantasy Tactics right now. Andy moved everything over, upgraded his copy of Tactics to the Switch 2 version, and has been very happy with that. I haven't heard mention of anything playing differently in Tactics specifically yet, no. So I have to ask Andy about it, but it hasn't sounded like it's any different.
I couldn't tell the difference when the upgrade came out. I honestly cannot tell the difference between the Switch 1 and Switch 2 on the Switch 2.
Yeah, okay. So maybe a big nothing burger. You're just making a $10 donation to Square Enix if you get the Switch 2 version. But the Z to A has not been opened yet in my house, and that's the only Switch 2 only game we have so far. I do know Andy did also move his entire library over, and he's happy about that. And he was like, I'm going to need a new card. And then it turns out, no, I don't need a new card yet because everything fits. So
wait until you start buying Switch 2 games.
Yeah, I know.
That won't last long.
Did you download CA?
Yeah, it was a download. System just came authorized to download and play ZA. Like, yeah, he didn't have to put a code in.
Yeah, because I remember that confusing me at first, to digging through all the paperwork. Like, is there a code? I don't see a code. And then I open up the eShop and it just said, ZA is ready to download. So I imagine the Mario Kart bundle was like that, too.
Yeah, probably. But
How's Andy doing with the size of this honking thing?
So far, he likes it. He really likes how the controllers attach better. And yeah, the size doesn't seem to be a big issue so far.
So have you gotten your adapters, Kelly?
Yeah, I bought some just some cheap silicone grips for the sides, and that seems to have helped my ergonomics quite a bit. I also bought some thumb caps because I kind of wasn't liking the height of the default thumb caps. They seemed very short.
Yeah.
So I I bought some thumbcaps, but some thumbcaps also came with the silicone grips that I bought. And I ended up going with the ones that came with the grips just because they felt a little bit better. And I let Vaughn have the rest of the thumbcaps because he didn't like the height of the grippies either. And plus, with as much as I play my Switch, I don't want the wear and tear to go down on the default ones. I want it to go on these ones that I can easily replace. So I found that that's been handy, especially with the ergonomics. Really, my only complaint about the system itself is that I have a hard time fitting it in my sweatpants pocket when I'm going downstairs.
It is honking. I mean, it is like essentially the size of the Steam Deck. It's not as thick, but it's same, XY size, basically.
Because I can't fit my Steam Deck in the pocket. I could barely fit this one with some stuffing, but it's really heavy, and yeah, that and sweatpants don't go well together. My pants fell down by the time I got down the stairs.
Yeah, it was big enough. I went on vacation last week, and just I was just like, nah, I'm just gonna bring the Switch. It's smaller.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm gonna end up doing the next time Vaughn and I go anywhere. Just not only because of the size, but I just the idea of having a $500 system with me on vacation just makes me cringe.
Exactly. If I lost or that old Switch was stolen, I wouldn't exactly be, I wouldn't be happy, but I wouldn't be crying about it either. If I lost the Switch too, that would be, oof, that'd be a hit.
Because I don't even bother bringing cartridges with me. I just stick with whatever I've downloaded. Because usually I'm just playing Picross while we're out and about, or while we're on vacation anyway. Just kill time in the hotel room. So, as far as the system itself, as far as the internals go, I love how quick it is. Booting up the eShop is just so nice now. I don't have to sit there and wait for what feels like forever to just look at the new games each week. And being able to basically filter my wish list to show only stuff on sale has been nice. I don't know why that wasn't a feature on the original.
There are so many questions about that. Like, and why they couldn't even today make the eShop a little bit more, better designed on the original Switch. I'm like,
So overall, yeah, I'm very happy with my purchase. Oh, another small thing that's t small but I appreciate is that the system makes a little noise when you put it out of sleep mode.
you need that little thing.
Yeah, because there've been multiple times that I've turned it on and off by accident because I thought I turned it on and turned it off and the Steam Deck does that too, and it's just a little thing that isn't that big of a deal, but once you're used to it, it's really convenient. My one minor complaint about the dock is that it seems like the system doesn't fit in the dock as well as it did the old
Really?
one. Yeah. Like it kind of teeters a little bit when I put it in its docked mode. I don't know, maybe that's just nitpicking.
We haven't set up our dock, so Andy only uses it handheld.
Handheld
I
only.
keep asking, are you sure you don't want it on TV? We can put it on TV. It's big TV. It's like, nah, I'm good.
I swear you, Andy and my husband sound like they're practically married because he's the same way. He will not play his Switch in TV mode, and I don't know why.
I
Vaughn,
do
why
because
won't you
it's a
play your
good it's a good excuse to then use the Pro Controller, which is also, as you
I
mentioned last week, very good.
love the Pro Controller.
Yeah, new Pro Controller is very good. It is ex more expensive than the last one, but what isn't these days?
Just being able to remap those G buttons
Is
has
the Pro
been nice.
Controller what you put your stick grips on or whatever, Kelly?
No, the Pro Controller, the separate controller. It has two extra buttons on the grips that you can map to whatever you want.
Mm.
So, like, I mapped the A button on the back of the left side so that I can advance the dialogue in Pokemon with one hand. That way I could, like, get a drink or whatever, or pet a cat while I'm playing Pokemon.
Pet a cat. Mm-hmm. Very important.
Look, they get pissy if you don't pet them on a regular interval when they're in your lap.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, that's not a Scotty thing.
Nope. That's an Alice thing.
Might share the couch with you, but you're supposed to just, like, sit. He's supposed to sit on the other side while you're on the other end. You just kind of stare at each other.
Am I the only one that forms a cuddle puddle when they game?
I think so.
Yeah, I only ever get one cat on me at a time, Kelly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Eclipse is not a lap cat. Twinkie and Scamper are, but they don't like to share laps. They will share a bed, but they won't share a lap.
Frankie and Alice will begrudgingly share a lap.
Mm.
But one of them will inevitably wake up and get pissed at the other and start biting the... Well, at first it starts as licking, and then it turns to violence pretty quick. But Vaughn says it's because it's a portable system. Why would I play on the TV?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Because it's a Switch. You can go back and forth.
You can get all that Donkey Kong funness on the TV.
Oh, banana.
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 He was showing me some cute little things about that game the other day, like the fact that when Donkey Kong and Pauline take a nap, it plays a little leitmotif of the original Donkey Kong song. And I think I heard, I'm pretty sure I heard the DK rap in it the other day while he was playing. Am I right, Vaughn? Was the DK rap playing? But, yeah, that's one of the getaway tracks. Okay. So, I guess overall, despite some minor nitpicks, I'm pretty happy with my Switch system, and it sounds like, or Switch 2 system, and it sounds like you guys are too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to blow you away. It's more like Switch Pro, but that's kind of what I've been wanting for like 4 years now anyway. A Switch that wasn't interminably slow.
Mm-hmm. And I remembered one of the whole reasons why I went ahead and went for it was because I realized that the price is not going to go down anytime soon, and I wanted to grab one before the price went up.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's kind of a thing happening with consoles these days.
Yeah.
Ask Xbox about that.
Yeah. The days of getting new consoles for cheap a year later is a thing of the past, unfortunately. And I feel bad for people that kind of depended that would wait until there was a price drop, because I don't think that's happening this generation. And I think it kind of sucks.
Yep.
But that was our feedback from Wizard Yamato. From Strawberry Eggs, the only thing I can come up with is Game Freak, Nintendo, the Pokemon companies, and insistence on coming out with a new generation every 3 years since the fourth generation. And indeed, the only time it was longer than 3 years between the third and fourth generations, so GBA to DS. The last two generations felt particularly rushed and undercooked, yet Pokemon games sell like crazy anyway. I don't mind that they aren't the best they can be, since I have a lot of fun with them anyway. It seems that Game Freak or whoever is in charge of these decisions is taking more with the cycle. If Gen 10 comes out next year, that will be another four-year gap since Gen 9. I certainly wouldn't mind if they take until 2027. They could take all the time. They should take all the time that they need. I mean, you're not wrong, Eggs. I think that it doesn't hurt for Pokemon to kind of take a break, and I'm glad that they've kind of been doing that with the DLC for the newer games in these spinoff games like ZA and basically the Pokemon Legends spinoffs, because it lets you get a quote-unquote new Pokemon game, but not necessarily a new generation. But I agree. I definitely think Scarlet and Violet was a little bit rushed and could have benefited from another year in the oven to just optimize. And who knows what's going on with like their toy mandates and merchandising and all of that other stuff.
They have that. They have anime. They've got movies. They've got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Because that I think that's one of the things that I don't think that the haters realize is that Pokemon is not just a video game series.
It is a multimedia, you know, trading cards. I mean, you know, they're making money all the different
ways. Polymorphic content, as Square Enix would call it.
Mm-hmm. Game Freak knows how to do it. Square doesn't.
Game Freak does what Square don't. Wait, what?
And then the rare YouTube comment from one on, I wouldn't hate Pokemon for it, but I sure hate Nintendo. I had a Switch 1 and it died on me in so many ways, so I'm not touching Switch 2, ever.
I have a question.
Yeah?
How does the Switch die in more than one way? Does that mean it was a gradual death over the course of losing functionality here and there and everywhere? Or did it actually die and come back from the dead and then die a different? I don't understand this comment, is what I'm saying.
Maybe they had multiple switches and one the screen died and another one like the, you know, the controllers died.
But you said they had a switch and it died in so many ways, right? I don't know.
Maybe the grammar isn't correct,
Chris. All right, fair, but like.
The comment broke your brain?
Yes.
Broke my brain.
Yes.
It's funny because a couple of weeks ago, my sister texted me and was like, would you know why my nephew's Switch isn't turning on? And I'm sitting there thinking,
it's not charged?
That could be a multitude of reasons.
Yeah.
Like, is the battery dead?
Listen, these things die in so many ways at the same time.
Is the charge port bad? Did he drop it?
It's like, you know, to be fair, I can think of a bunch of different ways a Switch dies. Like, you have the Joy-Con drift, you have a battery going bad, you can crack a screen, you can break one of the sliders where the controller attaches on the side, you can crack the housing, but that's not, who cares about that? You could break the little kickstand. You could snap your little SD card in half because they're tiny and fragile. And if you switch between them a lot, that could happen. You could.
Hey, I did that to a new one.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. The chat room suggests maybe the Switch died emotionally as well as physically. And I'm like, I don't know what
Nobody
that looks like.
Nobody likes me anymore.
Poor Switchy.
And then Matt Mason responded to this comment on YouTube. I had an OG Switch, two updated ones, two OLED ones, and a Switch Lite.
That's a lot of switches.
My kids grew up with them, like ages 3 to 10. A few were used in the club for 20 plus kids for about 2 years. Matt is a private school teacher, and he had a gaming club with switches. Context for that. Never had a single issue with any other than two or three Joy-Con drifts, which Nintendo
the Joy-Cons are the big issue. Yeah. They just go bad.
It was a powerhouse system that the family still uses today.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're all kind of in question as to how a Switch dies.
Well, not how it can die, how it dies so many ways.
Multiple. So many ways.
So many ways.
Not just dead, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Dead in multiple ways.
Mm-hmm.
They stabbed it and shot it.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I've had Joy-Con drift, but that was just a matter of replacing the Joy-Cons. I have not had the system itself die. I haven't even had the dock. Any problems with the dock whatsoever. So, yeah, enlighten us, one-on.
Well, no, they don't. It's not their job. It's just, I thought it was weird as all.
I'm just saying, if they want to enlighten us, I'm honestly curious.
I want to know what happened where their Switch had its terrible, awful, no good, very bad day and died in like 7 different ways. Do want to know the story, if you're willing to share it. That's Yeah, that's a rough switch situation. What are we doing now? We got more feedback?
I think that was all of it.
That's it? All right, good.
We don't have a question yet, do we?
I haven't thought of one.
Yeah, we'll go through the news.
Hey, you know what's coming up sooner than later?
Halloween.
The end of October?
Halloween.
Oh, yeah, there's that, but what's usually after Halloween?
Christmas.
Between Halloween and Christmas.
Thanksgiving.
Between Thanksgiving and Halloween.
50, 51, 52, 53, 50. Are we playing clock game? I don't know what's happening now. Guy Fawkes Day. Thank you, Severin. My sister's birthday.
It's site-wide. We at one point you had participated in 24 hours straight, but you guys don't do that anymore.
Oh, Veterans Day. No. Let's Extra Life. Are we talking Extra Life, Kelly? Oh, yeah. What is RP Gamer doing for Extra Life this year?
Let's see. What are we doing?
It's a really good question, isn't it?
We've got a streaming schedule for pretty much around the clock. You can look at the streaming schedule on our site. Pause is going to kick it off at 4 p.m. Central or Eastern Standard Time on Friday, November 2nd, and it's going to go through all weekend. We'll be doing RPG Cast Special Edition, Join the Stream Team Shenanigans. Maybe having the Chris Death Count.
Ooh, everyone loves the Chris Death Count.
So you did Liza P last year, didn't you?
I did.
Okay.
I think this year I'm supposed to do Crab Souls.
Oh, right. I forgot about Crab Souls.
I feel like a lot of people have forgotten about Crab Souls. Yeah. It was a thing last year. This year, who cares?
So we've got...
What is Extra Life, Kelly?
It is a marathon for that weekend to raise money for the Children's Miracle Network. It is the 16th year that RP Gamer is participating.
Woo!
Dedicated to our former editor-in-chief, Michael Cunningham, who passed away from cancer in 2018. Which hospital are we raising for?
Oh, that's a great...
Depends on who you're donating to.
We're doing a site-wide account this time.
Gotcha.
So let's see. Let's click donate. Oh, Children's Wisconsin. So this is the Pause and Nabuo influence. We picked a hospital near us. So that is, they're out in Milwaukee, right? So no, Wauwatosa. Oh, this is the Wauwatosa one. Okay, we're not doing the Milwaukee Children. All right, so this is Children's Wisconsin and Wauwatosa, and you can learn all about them. The point is they're a kids' hospital. They're one of the good ones out here. I have heard about them before, and they are part of the Children's Miracle Network, which means they are part of this whole thing where your money, no matter who you donate to, you don't have to donate to us. Find your favorite streamer who's participating. Donate to them. Donate to a family member. Help them celebrate and raise money for kids and make them healthier. The money goes to a hospital's funds designated by whoever you're donating to, and then gets used to do cool things to help heal kids. Some of the money goes to research grants. Some of the money goes to buying like things to make the kids' lives easier, like maybe kind of a little bit like Child's Play. We'll spend money on like video games and stuff to make the hospital have some stuff for kids who have to stay there a long time. The Children's Miracle Network does a little bit of that. They do a little bit of everything, just kind of general fundage about either researches, treatment support, patient support, helping the families, all that sort of stuff, that experience that goes into a kid being sick in a hospital. How do we make that better? That's where that money goes to. And Children's Miracle Network, been around for way longer than 16 years. They are one of the good ones. Please help us support kids in Wisconsin this year. Maybe we'll rotate the hospital every year or something like that. That actually might be fair to do that. That would be cool. But please help us support kids and help cure cancer and treat other really nasty things that kids have to go through that they shouldn't have to go through when they're young, and let's make it better for them. So please donate to our Extra Life page. Just search for rpgamer.com at the Extra Life site, or if you go to our website on the sidebar, we've got a link to Extra Life, and you can find a link at the very bottom of the Extra Life article to go to our donate link. But I think it's easier just go to the Extra Life site and search for RP Gamer. Donate to us. It'll help go towards the kids, and we will also be able to... do we have, like, goals where we unlock things? We don't this year,
don't
do we?
See anything?
We just have a cool schedule. So, like, so right now we're in the raise money, and then we will, like, have fun and thank you for all the money you've raised by putting on a stream for you and hopefully playing some games with you and hanging out with you all day long. So it should be a fun time. So give the money to the hospitals, to the kids, and then come hang out during game day as we celebrate making kids healthier. All right. Join us with Extra Life. We love it. We hope you guys love it too. And we look forward to hanging out with you in a couple weeks. Game day is, let's see. Let's get the actual date.
Starts Friday, November 7th.
Yes, November 7th.
It goes through Sunday.
Yeah. The official day is November 8th. So we're like going before and after because we do the whole weekend. So yeah, that whole 2 weeks now, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come hang out with us. It'll be cool. Oh, hey, we have a goal. We have a goal, says Hairfrog. At $110, Spare Embers will have a Heroes of Might and Magic stream on a future Saturday morning. Okay, he already does that on Sunday. Oh, I see. It'll be an next. Wait, what? We'll have a. He always had. Oh, Heroes of Might and Magic stream. So that'll be different. Okay, cool. So we can. At 110, Spare Embers adds a Heroes of Might and Magic stream instead of his normal Might and Magic dungeon crawling stream. 150, whoever tips us over this goal can choose the next Eurojank game Hairfrog will play. Oh, wait. Man, I need to do that so I can make him play that game we found last week for him. All right. At $300, a one-shot Dungeons and Dragons stream with the crew. Am I part? Who's part of that? That sounds cool. At $500, Leo Grimm beats the rest of the Coliseum in future streams. So this is cool. What we're doing is when you, so we're kind of doing, we're taking the subathon model, but applying it to Extra Life and then doling the rewards out over our normal streams in the coming months. So this is very neat. So like it's kind of a donate a subathon mini thing. So. And then at 500, Leo Grimm beats the rest of Coliseum. Oh, I guess I said that. At 1,000, Leo Grimm will stream Pokemon XD as well after Coliseum. At 1,500, Hairfrog will experience maximum suffering and stream Final Fantasy X-2 in its entirety as his next game.
That doesn't sound like suffering. That game's fun.
What can I do for you?
It's a matter of perspective. Wow, wow,
wow. Yeah, that is a that is not a universally liked game, Kelly. Some people not big fans of that one. I hope we can make sure we hit 1,500. Oh man, the chat is already sympathizing with Airfront because they know we're gonna hit it. And then I assume we'll add more goals. So that is your incentive. The real incentive, of course, is helping the kids. Please consider donating. We appreciate if you're able to just come and cheer us on, or if you're able to give money or whatever, just or tell other people who do have money, get them involved. It's fine. Or go support some other streamers who, as long as you are helping kids, I'm happy. Let's make this happen. Let's get the kids the healing they need. What else is up, Kelly?
Well, Persona 3 Reload update adds Yumi Kawamura songs. This update, which includes the Nintendo Switch 2 launch, by the way, adds tracks from Persona 3 and Persona 3 FES from original vocalist Yumi Kawamura. Sorry. You can change
Wait, the so, BGM. Oh, because they did it with a different vocalist?
I don't know.
Yeah.
They did update versions of the songs, yeah.
So if now they're adding options for the old versions, which makes sense because if you're playing it and you got that nostalgia for the original Burn My Bread song, then you're going to want that.
Burn my bread.
Yeah. I'm down. I'm so bad at actually hearing lyrics. I just hear like gibberish with a lot of those songs, so that's what's in my head. I just don't know the words.
I hear gibberish too, but Burn My Bread was pretty prominent.
Burn my bread. Heartbeat, heartbeat. It keeps on burning. Heartbeat, heartbreak. I don't know. That's the only other one I know. So, and they've got the mass destruction from Persona 3 FE. So one of the cool things about Persona 3 is its soundtrack has had a lot of time to get a bunch of extra remix and additional versions of songs. So like when you go searching for Persona 3 songs, there's a chance you're going to hear one like, I haven't heard this one before. And it's like, this is a really good one. And it's like, yeah, they added it to the remake that came out in Europe on the PSP only on the third Wednesday. And like, if you were there, that's where this version, it's not that bad, but it feels like that sometimes. Like, you have this one very specific release of the game. It came with a CD that has this song on it, and you can also find it on the third live concert they did. Oh, I love it.
Enshrouded's Wake of the Water update is releasing in November. This update features a combat overhaul with a UI rework and full rebalancing of numerous elements. As well as the addition of voxel-based water. What is Enshrouded?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Kelly. It's a survival crafting thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Single player, I think, or is it
no, co-op. Co-op?
Is it co-op?
It's co-op.
Is it massive co-op or just co-op? Yeah, all right, cool.
Yeah,
it's also don't know. In early access.
It's still in early access. It's from Keen Games. And so this is just an update to that, November 10th. It comes out next year. Lady Daph loves it, says it's really good. Survival crafter builder. So.
Okay. Well, I guess you can look forward to that.
Lady Daph is kind of my go-to now for like, here are the games I could be wasting. Not wasting, that's mean to her. These are the games that I could be spending many, 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 many hours not making progress in other games if I were to get into. So I just look at whatever Lady Daph is playing and I'm like, oh man, I could play No Man's Sky. But then I'm not going to play anything that's on my list for the next 100 hours of my life. I don't know if I want to do that.
Oh, I've been very tempted by No Man's Sky recently.
Yeah. And then this would be a good one too. It looks good, but maybe I'll wait till it's out and then give it my whole existence for a while. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh.
Kingdom Come Deliverance 2's Mysteria. Oh god, I cannot pronounce that.
Mysteria Oh my gosh, Mysteria Ecclesiae.
Expansion is arriving in November.
Okay, so this is a Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 DLC. So it's an expansion, and instead of blacksmithing this time, what do you get now?
There's a disease that's affecting a monastery, and you're investigating it.
Oh, and you get it with Game Pass. Usually you don't get the DLC in Game Pass games. Interesting.
Wow.
But like, this is another one I could just go spend way too long playing. Kingdom Come. I want Hairfrog to play these. Man. Kingdom Come Deliverance.
I don't even remember what type of game Kingdom Come is.
So it is a, it's one of those, like, you are in a situation and then you get the free reign to kind of go and open world, do whatever you want. So like,
okay.
So like it is
Bethesda, but good.
I haven't played it, but my understanding is like, you're this dude and you can choose to like be in charge of a town or become really good at running an army, or you can maybe become king. I don't know. And then there's this whole storyline, and then how you go about leveling your character and what you get good at and stuff, and changes how you approach all that. And then here's a sequel where I think you either bring your character forward, or at least it's directly connected to the plot, and then it's the same thing where it's like, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to just go and open a blacksmith shop, or do you want to go and hunt down somebody who made you angry? I don't know. Like it's way open world type thing, and everyone I hear talk about it seems to like it. So
it sounds like the type of open world where it just plunks you in and says, okay, figure it out.
Pascal gave it a 5 out of 5 for the second one. So like, I feel like I should get into it, but also I know that that's another one of those that's gonna be a long commitment if I get into it. Mm-hmm. Or I can watch Hairfrog play it forever and ever.
But it's getting DLC.
Yes.
So there you go. What else have we got?
Another open world game.
Open world action RPG Project Tau announced. This game is billed as a reimagining of Korea's traditional Tau masks, as well as their mythology and folklore. It's set to release on PC and consoles in 2026.
I don't know. I'm watching the video of this, and it's got like the art style and crisp graphics of like a Dark Souls like. But I don't know how this one, because it's got horror elements. Maybe it's also a Dark Souls like. I don't know, because action RPG is vague, right?
And it's also got party elements in it as well. So you have other characters that are in your party and kind of like do something.
Okay.
So it's not solo.
Yeah, I mean, the news story says characters in your party will have unique personalities and abilities and combat roles.
Like, they show off a combat, but there's no UI, and it's not clear how you could make the things in this combat happen.
Yeah,
with like just normal action RPG controls that feel like QTEs instead, but you're not seeing any button prompts on the screen either, so I don't know what's going on. So... Alex in the chat says Korean game, so it's likely a faster pace with some Dragon's Dogma stuff in there as well.
Yeah that's
like jumping onto enemies and stuff.
Yeah we're seeing that happen, like that. During the fight, he's jumping on and like slicing weak points. But when I see that, the way it's executing, how perfectly it's happening, it looks like a kind of a scripted event rather than just something you're just doing. So I will need to see more. When's it out? Do we know?
2027.
Oh, so it can be a while. We'll get lots of videos about it, probably.
But yeah, Dragon's Dogma was what I immediately thought when I read companions with unique personalities.
Here's my biggest concern. It looks beautiful. It's probably Unreal Engine 5. Is it going to perform on any PC a mortal man can own? I don't know.
Now I'm just trying to think of what an immortal man's PC would be like.
I mean, they'd have a 5090 for one, but.
moving on. Ariana and the Elder Codex is coming west this year. This is from Compile Heart and Idea Factory, and it's a side-scrolling action RPG.
This one is not Unreal Engine 5.
No.
This is, we are back into the scaled-down 2D, well, I guess it's 3D, but side-scrolling Metroidvania-esque sort of thing.
You are a librarian named Ariana who is tasked with repairing the 7 hero codices, which have been altered to cause magic to vanish from the world. And I guess you are entering books to mend them. And it looks like a Metroidvania. Actually, it looks kind of fun. Especially the combat.
You know, as much as you can tell from watching a vid, it looks like solid 2D combat.
Yeah, I'm going to keep an eye out on this one. It just says coming to the West in 2026 for PS4, PS5, and Switch. Do not know when it's going to be out specifically, but we'll probably have more news stories coming out for it. I will have to keep an eye out on that. It looks fun.
Kelly, are you missing playing Fallout 4 and Fallout 76 on your Switch 2?
I never even played the original games.
Oh, okay.
So I did claim Fallout 3 in New Vegas on Prime this morning.
Cool.
Yeah, well, Amazon changed how they're doing their games with Prime now.
Mm-hmm.
That they're just calling it Amazon Luma. And
Luma is the streaming service.
Yeah. I guess it's now like the games of Prime is like a basic Luma service now. Yeah,
well, you also get free games too. So like, for example, right now I can claim True Fear Forsaken Souls Part 2 on GOG. And like, I guess I could do that. But like Fallout, let's see, New Vegas is, how do I get to play? Yeah, it is, that's a GOG one too.
Yeah, because I think both of them were claimed on GOG. I was very confused by the name change because I thought Luma was their
Luna. It's Luna, and it's their streaming thing, and you get access to Luna Standard if you're a Prime
Okay.
Which means I bet they're going to talk you up to something more if you enjoy it. But like, I'm good, thanks. I don't need the games you're offering for streaming here.
Yeah. I just claim every once in a while there'll be something that'll be like, okay, well, I'll claim that just to have it in my library. I might not get to it anytime soon.
Here's what's being pushed on the front page of the Amazon Luna service. Courtroom Chaos, starring Snoop Dogg. Courtroom Chaos is what happens when your game night enters the courtroom. The cases may be fake, but the laughs are 100% real. You and your friends take turn improvising your testimony, inventing absurd characters, spinning wild stories, and defending the indefensible. And it's all moderated by the dynamic, AI-powered Judge Snoop Dogg, who holds court, challenges your team, and reacts contextually to your testimony, all before delivering his final verdict. This sounds like a dumpster fire, and I need to see it happen. So,
well, you can claim it for free, apparently.
I could just start playing it right now, but I need people to play with me. So I'm going to see if anyone's streaming that, and I'm going to enjoy their suffering, because this sounds terrible.
It sounds like one of those party games like Fibbage and whatever the Jackbox games are. But could be interesting. Sorry, we got on a tangent. So Fallout 4 Anniversary Edition and Fallout 76. Well, sorry, let me back that up. Anniversary Edition is coming to Switch 2. Fallout 76 is having an expansion, which who is still playing that?
People are playing it because they kind of keep sort of fixing it, I guess.
Yeah.
And also, there were people who were into it when it came out, remember? Like, the game's had ups and downs, but, I mean, if it's for you, it's there, and it's still doing its thing, I guess.
I just heard nothing but bad things about that game, so... That's why I was a little confused. I thought the consensus was that nobody liked that.
I used to think that as well, and then I saw some long-form YouTube videos talking about people who like it and what parts of the game are actually not so bad, and which we wouldn't know because the bad parts make us want to stay away. But then there's like, you know, people who did invest the time, and either because they like the setting or because their friends made them, they have discovered what they do enjoy in it. So I don't know. It's a thing and it keeps getting content. So it must be doing well enough.
Yeah.
Hey, every turd has its flies.
Mm.
But Fallout 4 Anniversary Edition is coming to Switch 2. It's also going to be coming on November 10th to PS4, PS5, and both of the Xboxes. They also announced a 15th anniversary bundle for New Vegas, a physical bundle.
Which is $155.
Because you get a statue of Victor. Yay.
Because everybody wants that, yeah. That's a very expensive plastic statue.
Oh, I forgot, Josh. Didn't you say that New Vegas was pretty good?
I love New Vegas. I would not spend $150 on a Victor statue.
Gotcha.
It does include the game. It's got, some 8x8 Doc Mitchell's evaluation cards. So it's got some cardboard cards, an enamel pin, 1.5 inches. Mojave Express patch, an NCR recon patch, and of course a box. You know,
no game, just a box.
No, it's got the code.
Okay,
PC.
Lovely.
So this is only for PC.
Well, but is the game not coming to Switch too? Is it just the PC only?
Yeah, the
Fallout 4 New comes Vegas. To PC. Okay, so Fallout 4 comes to Switch too, but not New Vegas. Lame. Or is it already on there and I just don't realize it? Probably has a Switch 1 version, right? No, maybe.
I
have no idea. Okay. Fallout New Vegas Switch. Does that come up at all? No. Wait. Do you guys would ever come to... Okay. So no. I guess it's not out. So nothing. You get Fallout 4 and you like it. No Fallout 3 New Vegas. The only one of the 3s and 4s that are any good.
Is Fallout 4 the one where you like literally make a baby and it gets stolen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I can say more, but I guess I don't want to spoil it.
And then this expansion for Fallout 76 is going to feature the Burning Springs map that includes a new arid region in Ohio.
Kelly, we don't care.
I'm just putting it out there for the people that do.
In the bigger thing that it's tying in the ghoul from the TV series.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Including using Walter Goggins as the voice acting for all the bits.
Oh, neato.
Yeah. Will that get you to play Fallout 76?
No.
No, okay.
I haven't even watched the show.
Oh.
I know.
I've heard the show is good.
The show is really good, yeah.
And I'll watch anything with Walter Goggins in it.
He's great.
I heard he steals the show.
Should I know this person's name?
Oh gosh, what has he been in? I remember him from The Shield.
Didn't watch that either.
He was in Righteous Gemstones, I think.
Kelly, tell me about this Japanese line art yokai deck building game.
Deck builder. It's getting a demo available on Steam. The demo includes one playable character and lets you experience the beginning of the game's story. You can also choose between two narrative paths that take you to the bamboo forest or the rice fields and 24 random events. Doesn't say when this game is going to come out, but yeah,
it's coming soon.
Deck builder based off of Japanese mythology called Tailspinner. So it's kind of interesting. I'm not really a big fan of deck builders, but
yeah, but if you're in the things like Slay the Spire, you probably want to check this out.
Yeah, I wishlisted it just now, just because I'm curious about it. Also, Hark the Ghoul receives a new demo. This is also on Steam, and you could try the opening parts of the game. This lets you explore a dark Victorian city and gives you the ability to use pistols, whip swords, and cannons, and magic. Game is set.
Did I play this? Is this something I played? A demo before? Does it just look like it? It's a first-person action dungeon crawler. It's got a very pixelized art style. Chaos calls it a Kings-like. So I guess because Kingsfield, right? Kingsfield. Yeah. So there you go. So what if you took, like, Bioshock, but had it look like a PS2 game? I don't know. PS1 game.
Basically. Yeah. Nah, PS2. PS2. Pixely PS2.
I wishlisted it, but I do not know if I'll be able to. I'll have to check out the demo. Stuff that's low poly tends to make me pretty nauseous.
Yeah,
if it's in
I think PS2 games looked better than this.
Maybe it's PS1.5.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, all right, I'll take that.
Dune Hero is also coming to Switch. It was originally for Steam and Early Access, and its full PC release is expected to launch later this year. This is a roguelike RPG.
Well, we don't have enough of those in our lives.
Yeah, procedurally, it looks like a procedurally generated zone.
Yeah, so this has got the Survivors-like thing where you're getting upgrades and weapon choices, and you're fighting bosses where there's lots of stuff on the screen. So, one of those.
I feel like there's been a lot of those lately.
Yeah, it's almost like because we keep getting addicted and playing all of them, Kelly. Mm-hmm.
Like that one Creature Keeper one came out.
Yeah, it's on my list. Keeper. I need to look at it. Wilds Keeper?
Yeah, Wilds Keeper. But moving on, Mouseward has been announced. This is an action RPG taking inspiration from Nintendo 64 adventure games. So... West 64.
Oh my god, why does somebody want a game to look like this? No, I do appreciate the really high frame rate paired with Nintendo 64 graphics with the heavy fog and low visibility,
and the games look like this now because all the people that had a PS1 that couldn't afford anything better are now growing up and getting dev kits. Chris,
this is an N64. It's not a PS1. But yeah, also...
Same era.
Okay, I'm going to say something. The 3D on the PlayStation 1 and 2 was garbage, and games that were made on it looked like garbage, and they were all bad, and people shouldn't like them.
But they do.
Well, yeah, and like there's a lot of good RPGs on those systems, so I don't even believe that myself. But like, oh my god, did I hate that era of 3D graphics. I'm like, why can't we have 2D graphics that look better than this low-poly pixel garbage vomit on the screen? Why do people like 3D so much? Why do people like 3D so much? And then 3D got fine, and I was like, okay, that's cool. Now games just cost more to make, but like, you know, 2D art still could have been a... And then... I had to get over it.
And now we have indies.
Yeah. Now we go back. Now we're just going back and looping through the history of games and starting from 8-bit to 16-bit to 32-bit. Now we're doing mock PlayStation 1 games. It's like, are we really doing this? And the answer is, yep.
In 10 years, we're going to get mock PlayStation 3 games where everybody just looks like mannequins.
Oh,
like
goodness.
Highly plastic mannequins.
No.
And people are going to be like, why do the games look like this? It's awful. And it's like, well, because all the people that can only afford a PlayStation 3.
Wait, does this mean we end up with indies making games as a service games? Because that's what they grew up with?
Oh, no.
Eventually, oh, no. So they make mock Fortnites and free-to-play garbage that, like, shouldn't exist because that's what they were weaned on? I'm very confused now.
As our generation dies out, yes.
Oh, no. Well, I hate it. Anyway, it's very cute to have all the mice in this game. I could maybe tolerate it because I can tell it's going to perform a lot better than N64 games did, but like the graphics seem like a shame to me. Don't emulate the N64. It wasn't good looking.
And part of why that PS1 aesthetic is so popular in horror games, it's because it makes them 100 times more unsettling.
Yeah. If this was creepy horror mice... That would be different.
Creepy whore mice.
That, okay. H-O-R-R-O-R, not the other okay. One. Like, I know. Like, once I said that, I'm like, that just sounds wrong. I need to rephrase. Yeah. See, anyway, I probably need to play this on the stream. This seems like a good one for, like, Extra Life, this mouse game. It's a Souls-like, so...
I'm surprised Kingsfield has fans. That was a jank game.
It laid the foundation so Dark Souls could run.
It crawled so Dark Souls could sprint. Or
Demon Souls, I guess, yeah.
Does anybody care about the System Shock remake?
I kind of forgot about it, but not me.
No. Well, it's coming to Switch consoles. And we'll support the Joy-Con 2 mouse.
Don't do that, by the way.
Yeah.
It just hurts your arm. The Joy-Con 2 mouse mode is not good. Plug in a USB mouse. Do that. It will be better for you. It'll be better for your arm. It'll be better for everyone. I feel like this is one of those history of games, important games, and I should play it, but like I just can't get myself to do it. Also, it's been out for 2 years on other systems, and nobody's been talking about it, so I don't know that it matters that much.
Got too much new stuff, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm too busy playing Final Fantasy Tactics, you know, those new stuff.
Yeah.
It's like it's a game I've always been curious about, but there's so much other newer stuff out that I just haven't wanted to go back.
It's one of those games where people talk about all the cool, interesting things you can do in it, and yet then I look at, you know, like all the combat in here, there's a lot of like first-person shooter stuff that I'm not interested in. So it's like, yeah. If the most of the game is that and only a little bit is the interesting stuff, why don't I play something more interesting that was inspired by it that's just the more interesting stuff?
Like Bioshock?
That's more shooty than this is, I believe. I don't know. Oh, Kelly.
Yes.
Are you familiar with cat? The yep. Spinning cat? Somebody modded them into Skyrim.
Is it the dragons?
I don't know, it should be. No, it sounds like either this is just a joke video or it's the main character. Okay. I think it's a, oh my gosh.
I mean, AIO does sound like a shout.
There is a mod. It's on, oh, it's a, the cat is a follower. So the EEI cat is one of your followers. And yeah, it looks like a JPEG follows you around that spins around and attacks enemies.
That actually sounds kind of cute.
Okay. I know. It's like a dank meme at this point. It's old, but it just got to me in the past week.
That cat is so cute, though. What did I send you? The video of that song, but it was Yvonne Polka?
Yeah, it was the dude on the bench doing the... Yeah, so... Whatever.
Hey, I'm glad that lady that has that cat has made her own merchandise. With
absolutely. Get that bag and get the cat some good food.
Because that cat's handicapped pretty bad. So mm-hmm. She deserves all the money from that meme to have a better life.
Yes. Sorry, that just came up on my YouTube while I was playing the Last of Stories trailer. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, in Skyrim. All right. Tell me about Kingdoms of the Dump. We've been seeing this one coming for a while.
Yeah. So Kingdoms of the Dump is set in the Lands of Phil and stars Dustin Bensley, a sentient trash can and aspiring knight.
Yep.
Falsely accused of trash picking the King of Garbagia, mm-hmm. Dustin must clear his name while evading trash assassins and exposing an evil organization. And... okay, the game literally sounds like garbage. But
made by real janitors, it says.
It looks like a Super Nintendo game. It has 6 playable characters, each with different fighting styles. And it just looks cool as hell.
When is it out?
It had a Kickstarter campaign in 2019 and will launch on PC via Steam November 18th.
That's the announcement. All right, good. So it's already on my lists. Yeah. Okay. This one looks silly enough that I think I want to check it out.
I just love the creativity behind everything. The Land of Phil.
Garbage Day is coming.
Garbage Day. I'm surprised that's not the whole
Garbage Day. That's so stupid. They're making another one of those. Movies. So you play as either a trash can or a rat or what looks like an ant, and then there's a wizard, and then there's a sentient guitar, and then a guy who looks like a cowboy. That's all I got. I don't know. It's gonna be weird.
It's gonna be fun. Successor is fully releasing this week, so this was a roguelite. It's a roguelite tactical RPG that was in early access, but its 1.0 version is coming out.
And it's animated like, what if your miniatures could kind of move? They stick on the spot that you put them on, but they can move around and attack and stuff. And yeah,
it's one of those that also has a VR.
Oh, does version. It? This is going to be $25 on October 24th.
That was yesterday.
Oh, yeah. It's out. It's out.
Out.
What else came out this week? Rogue Trader has a Switch 2 date, and the Dark Heresy Alpha date has been announced. So Rogue Trader 2 is going to be on... sorry, just Rogue Trader is going to be on Switch 2 on December 11th and $50. The Alpha for Dark Heresy is going to be on December 16th.
For PC.
Yeah.
Who's making Dark Heresy? That's probably also that's the Owlcat sequel, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Cool. Nice.
Cloudheim is launching on Steam Early Access in December, specifically on December 4th. This is a Norse-inspired world with physics-based combat.
It kind of looks like Genshin Impact?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a free-to-play thing, or is this a different... What is this?
I'm not sure.
It's from Noodle Cat Games. It's a co-op action RPG. It's coming to Early Access on December 4th. It's going to be out for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. And that's... you can do a demo now. I don't know. explore islands and dungeons in solo or co-op with four players. So I guess, okay, so then that's just, there's four players and it's not a gacha thing. Okay, cool. Whew. Check it out if you kind of want like physics-based. So what is this? Genshin Impact plus, not Visions of Mana, but the bad one. Was that Visions? Dawn of Mana? Because it's physics.
Don't know.
Hopefully it'll be better than that, because that's a crazy idea.
Yeah, because Dawn of Mana's big thing was like throwing people into other people to make them weak for physical attacks, and that was the only way you could harm anything, and it sucked. God, that game sucked. Hopefully not sucking. Splintered is fully released on Steam. This is a, I think we talked about this, it's a turn-based RPG, and it looks like Dragon Quest.
Yeah, but like the story here is like, you have to keep, I don't know, there's like timeline stuff going on, right? You have to keep replaying the game.
I think you have to. There's like a time. Yeah, I remember now, because it's like as short as the original Dragon Quest, but you're constantly replaying it for different outcomes. Isn't that what it was? That's,
yeah, something like that. I guess I could actually read the description, which tells us. A unique RPG where the villain randomizes the world with each defeat. Start with a classic RPG experience, then delve into shifting worlds where the overworld items and enemies shuffle, creating new challenges. Conquer these worlds to unravel, and the description cuts off. Do I get? I get nothing. Yeah, I don't know. Unravel it's something.
Only, it's only $10, and it's on sale for $7 right now.
I know. I'm
getting it right now while it's on sale.
Nice.
Because that sounds like something that could be fun to boot up in between longer games. And if it's got a Dragon Quest One motif, Matt, I know that you'll want to play it.
Yeah, tell me how it goes, Kelly.
Yeah. I might boot this up later tonight just for the heck of it.
What if I want to go fishing, Kelly?
Do I want to go fishing?
What if I want to go fishing? Do you have something for me?
Sea Fantasy has released on PS5 for $15.
Okay.
It is set in a pixel art open world where you set out to fish for the sea as. I guess that's the name of the marine life of their world.
Oh.
However, the destruction of the world is imminent, and the men's fishing abilities turn out to be what saves it.
What?
So save the world by fishing.
No, that's not a thing.
It sounds like it's a thing.
Hmm. This fishing meter does a lot of stuff. It's like they take this fishing meter and they're trying to do like a Undertale with it.
I mean, if it works and it makes the gameplay fun.
Yeah. This looks, the graphic style is very RPG Maker, so, but then, they're not just using RPG Maker assets or anything like that, because, like, look at these monsters, they're very cool looking. And then, I don't know what just happened, it went first person 3D, I'm very confused now.
It sort of made me think of Stardew Valley, like an expanded version of the Stardew Valley fishing with the pixel art.
Said to be a 10 to 20 hour game. This looks cool. I want to hear how it is and if it's amazing or not. It's already out on PC and Xbox. This is a PS5 release. Yeah.
It's actually on sale on PC right now.
Mm.
Darn, if I would have known, I would have put that in the cart with Splintered.
Well, you can still do it.
I know. I wish listed it. I might hold off on this one since it seems a little more involved. But that is all of our new release dates. Now, what is coming out, Chris?
I will tell you, there's a lot, because we're in that time.
Oh.
Yeah. First of all, Ball Pit's coming to your Switch, too. So another place you can play it, Kelly. Death by Scrolling, a vertical scroller roguelike role-playing game. So, like, think Vampire Survivors, but you scroll up. It's weird. Go look at it on Steam. It looks neat. that's coming out for PC. Halls of Torment finally releasing for PlayStation, Xbox. So I don't know if it came 1.0 on PC already, but it's finally hitting some consoles. Okay. Then something else that's already been on other platforms, Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 1 Plus, Rebirth 2 Sisters Generation, and Rebirth 3 V Generation are all coming to PlayStation. Whew. So,
which PlayStation 4, 5?
Yes. I don't. It says 4 and 5, so I don't know. I assume that means it's a PS4 version that'll play on both.
Okay.
This is the remake of the Vita versions, which were a remake of the PS3 versions?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so.
Okay, cool. Sure. I have no idea what script you're getting in this one. So then we've got Outer Worlds 2 for PC and PlayStation and Xbox. This is Obsidian's next big game, sequel to their satirical RPG Outer Worlds 1, and a game that is well known to be either hit or miss as to whether or not you like its writing.
What is their nickname for it, Josh?
Dr. Thunder Fallout.
Yep. Very much in the vein of one of the Bethesda Fallout games. So this is also the week we're going to get Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD 2D Remake for
Yay.
PC, Switch, and PlayStation and Xbox. Both the Switches. So
all the things.
Yeah. And then I don't know what's going on, but I heard rumbling of stories that I didn't have time to read about the changes in Dragon Quest II being like extensive in this remake, and I don't know what that means. So I look forward to the reviews.
And this was the one that I sat there having an existential crisis on which one I wanted to put on my wish list for Christmas, the Switch 1 or the Switch 2 version.
Stray Children is coming out. It's a role-playing game on PC and Switch. I don't know a lot about this one.
This is the one by the same developers that did Moon RPG.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be kind of a subversive RPG.
Moon. With the little dog. Okay. Yeah. So this is going to be a weird one. So. Oh, wow. You're straight up playing Frogger in this battle. Okay, cool. Yeah. So expect an odd experience with Stray Children. Put that on my list just to follow it a little.
I think it's funny that Moon inspired Undertale, and this seems inspired by Undertale.
Mm.
So Ouroboros and all that.
I don't know. It seems inspired by a lot of things. I would say it's inspired by some of the other weird games besides Undertale, honestly. But I guess Undertale did help make a market for that stuff. Tales of Exilia Remastered is coming out for PlayStation, Switch, Xbox, and PC. So if you want to play Tales of Exilia again,
this game so good so that they'll remaster Exilia 2.
Is this the one whose battle system I couldn't figure out when it came out?
There was a lot of Tales games whose battle system you couldn't figure out.
I don't like their battle systems. I don't understand them. I feel like you need to go to college for them. I went to college.
Just smash the X button to win. It's not that hard.
Only if you put it on easy. I want to actually learn how the battle system works. Here's another game called Deck Tamer. It is a creature collection RPG, but it's a roguelike turn-based card game. Recruit enemy cards to your parties. You dive into the depths of the abyss. Will you kill them or will you tame them? So there is a demo out now. It's coming out later this week. So if you're into these, creature collection but card roguelike, check it out. And then Guild Wars 2 is getting an expansion, I guess, Visions of Eternity. So if you're into Guild Wars 2, just so you know, that's this week. Harvest Moon Home Sweet Home is hitting this week, which I don't know much about at all. If you get it on Switch, I guess Mario's in it. What's going on here? No, that just had a what? It's the mobile game, and it's getting a console port, says Andy, who would know.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. $40. All right. And then ID at Xbox has a showcase this week, so I figured I'd point that out. So,
it's software?
No, ID at Xbox. This would be Indies. Xbox Indies program. So
see all the games that you're going to buy on PS5.
Yeah. There's usually a lot of these will have games that are actually on multiple platforms, but they make it sound like it's only on Xbox.
Well, Xbox isn't only on Xbox anymore.
So. Yeah.
Halo on PlayStation is, you know, a thing now.
You think they're going the way of Sega and being a public Xbox Games is just going to be a publisher?
I mean, I don't know what's happening.
They're pretty much like doing that themselves, so they keep claiming they're going to have another console. They also say it's going to be incredibly expensive. That's an interesting thing to kind of come out and say.
Yeah. Also, imagine going back to like 2008 and telling somebody that Halo will be on PlayStation.
It is wild. Of course, I guess Microsoft actually needs to make some Halo games to actually have new stuff to put on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have a Outer Worlds 2 review from Jordan McLean.
He was not a fan.
Oh, yeah, they gave it a 2 out of 5. They reviewed it on PlayStation. Interesting plot diversions and great presentation, but rampant bugs, glitches, and sequence breaks, broken and completable quest lines. Gameplay balance falls apart in the second half. Exhaustingly trite satire and tonal mess, and the last two worlds are less visually interesting.
So it's the same as the first game.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
It's like, what? These aren't bugs. These are features. This is why you play Obsidian games. You want bugs, glitches, sequence breaks. It's half finished. It needs patching, and the gameplay falls apart in the end. Like, what are you talking about? That's perfect. We gave 5 out of 5s to games like this. I guess we have more standards nowadays, huh? I don't know.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah. So this sounds like it's a bit of a mess. And like I said, either the writing hits for you or it didn't. And it looks like it didn't hit for Jordan.
No.
That's absolutely fine.
And remember, Xbox wanted $80 for this.
I think the definite thing you can take away, no matter your opinion of the Outer Worlds and whether the writing hits or not, doesn't sound like you want to play it on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that what he played? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, never play the PlayStation version of the Obsidian game.
Yeah.
No. I didn't even notice that. I'm sorry. We should have got you a PC version. Oh, no.
Why? Because at least the PC version can be patched by people.
Yeah. But usually the PlayStation version is always the worst for these guys. And which shouldn't be a big deal now that they're all x86 based, but they are still different. And you know Obsidian's going to be developing for Xbox and PC first because they're owned by Microsoft now.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's good to know, you know, like if all you got is a PS5, maybe give it a pass for a while.
Let's be real, Josh. It's probably broken on the PC and Xbox as well.
Oh, probably.
We've got a Lonesome Guild review from Sam Wachter. This is a cutesy action RPG. And Sam played this on PS5, by the way. I've been curious about this game just because the art style looks cute and there's multiple animals you can play as. Sam gave it a 3 out of 5, saying that it has wonderful themes in the narrative, cute characters, and beautiful still artwork. The negatives are that puzzle instructions are often unclear and uninspired, and the combat lacks refinement.
Is it co-op or single player?
I can't tell. I thought it was could be co-op.
It maybe just looks like it. Yeah, it's single player, it says.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I kept seeing ads for it on Steam. Yeah, single player top-down action RPG. So, looks cool. Might wait for... Well, it's on the Steam version is on sale now, but I might wait for a sale anyway. And then Sam also reviewed Wander Stars. This was the anime-looking RPG.
Oh, cool. Yeah, this is the one where like you have to pick the words you shout out for your attacks. Mm-hmm. That's the battle system. So it's just like it's literally anime attack name simulator.
Sam played this on Switch and gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
Oh, so it's better than the last one. All right.
90s anime vibes are on point, a great soundtrack, cheeky characters and writing are the positives. Negatives is that the battle system should be more robust and that performance issues on Switch drag down the experience.
Don't play it on Switch. Got it. Noted.
Could you play it on Switch too and have it run?
I think
better?
It's on PC.
Okay. Well, play on PC then. And then what else?
Yeah, it is.
Right. Pascal gave the Chained Echoes DLC a deep look. What was his overall thoughts about it? Can't really.
There is it's a deep look, so we don't have a summary on it. I guess that means, well, because it's a DLC, we're not reviewing it then. So let's see.
Yeah. They don't get scores.
Yeah.
He said that those experiencing the now full package for the first time will find an enjoyable bonus adventure well worth the time it takes to complete.
Okay, so that's good. All right. Yay. So if you've been putting off Chained Echoes for whatever reason, and now you've maybe just recently played Quartet and you're going back being like, what are other indie JRPGs that maybe I should go back and check out? This should be on your list, probably. All right. Then we got another deep look. Oh, this is not a good sign deep look, though, right?
I couldn't tell.
Is this the deep look where like someone bailed out of a review?
I don't know. Okay. It was from Ezra, and I think it's Shrine's Legacy.
Okay.
SNES era RPG.
All right, looks cool. Nice pixel art. Zelda-esque in their design. Dungeon maps, keys, rooms locked by combat encounters. Unfortunately, the execution of most dungeons leaves a lot to be desired. Puzzles are incredibly frictionless, which causes them to feel tedious rather than interesting. Furthermore, the game has several odd instances of poorly explained mechanics. The best example of this is the Wind's Gem ability to generate pathways between otherwise disconnected surfaces. While the mechanic itself is introduced to the player before they attain the ability to do it, this at will, at no point is the player given any indication that this is an ability that can be used outside of the already established context. So you're supposed to think like, oh, I wonder if that thing I was able to use in the dungeon I can use over here now. And like, oh, yeah, you can. Well, all right. So game design is hard is what we're learning.
Yeah.
But read the deep look if you're interested in Shrine's Legacy and kind of want to see what Ezra thought about it.
And that's all the news.
All right. Everyone go play Courtroom Chaos now. What are we doing? We have a question or no?
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what are you looking? Whose segment are you looking forward to for Extra Life? Look, or is that too soon? That's 2 weeks from now.
It's 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks, not too bad.
I don't like it, but I guess we got to go with it. What segment are you looking forward to in Extra Life? Or Chaos suggests a holiday-themed question. Like, what are you asking for Christmas or whatever you celebrate? That's not good.
What present do you want the Great Pumpkin to bring you?
What do you want the Great Pumpkin to bring? Yeah, something Halloween-related. Favorite horror RPG?
What about your favorite Halloween tradition? Like, for me, it was... before all the kids moved out of our neighborhood, it was watching The Simpsons Treehouse of Horror and playing Castlevania on my system of choice.
Nice.
While waiting for kids to come by trick-or-treating.
Which Castlevania?
But just your overall, like, Halloween traditions do you
have?
No,
but, like, which Castlevania did you play?
Oh, which one? Just whichever one was handy at the time. Like, it started... passing out candy at my parents' house, playing Dracula X Chronicles on the PSP. And then most recently, it's been the Advance and DS collections.
Did you do the 3D ones where it's like you become Dracula or whatever?
No. It's usually the collections on the Switch.
All right, fair enough. The good RPG ones, got it.
Yeah.
I like it. What's your favorite Halloween tradition? Let's see what you did. Let's see what you hear from them. That brings us to the end of the show. I want to thank everybody for watching. If you want to catch us live, it's twitch.tv/RPGamer at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern every week. And then if you want to get the show, it's on any of the podcast sites, or just subscribe directly to the RSS. Which is linked on the homepage at rpgamer.com. If you'd like to leave feedback, you can do it in the show thread or on Discord or on the YouTube video. I think we're trying to check all of them for now, so that's cool. And if you want to catch more streaming content, always stay tuned to the RP Gamer stream at twitch.tv/rpgamer, where people like Hairfrog will stream janky games, but I don't think he's doing it this week. And then what else? We'll probably have Tam tonight and Scar in the morning. That sort of stuff is usually the weekends. Peter's been streaming, Smoke and Joe's been streaming, lots of streaming going on the RP Gamer. Just sign up for notifications and hopefully someone will play something you're into, and then you can watch it and chat with us and have fun. What else? Extra Life coming up a couple weeks. That'll be cool. Next week I will not be on the show because I have to do on-call stuff for my work again. This is going to be a regular occurrence, but I think Andy's going to try to host, so we'll see how that goes. If Yay. We don't have a show, that means things went real, real bad. But we'll see. I'm sure we'll have a show in 2 weeks, though, because then it's Extra Life. And Extra Life. There's going to be so much streaming during Extra Life. So get excited for that. And, enjoy those games. And as always, you don't need a question of the week. Just write in and tell us about the things that came out and if they're good. Give us your reviews of games. Then we can talk through them in the feedback.
There were so many things this week.
There's so many things last week and this week. Oh, my gosh.
And it's going to get worse.
Oh, no. I'm going to go see what Steam games I need to not buy. So I'll leave you with that. And I'm going to say thank you, Kelly and Josh.
I need to go buy a kitten collar.
Oh. Fair enough.
We'll go do that.
And enjoy your new kitty. And Josh, figure out a way to make Scotty happy.
I'll do my best.
Yeah. All right. All right, everyone. We'll catch you next week. Until then, enjoy Halloween and your games. See ya.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.